Let's join in prayer together before we go to God's word. Lord, we truly do desire to be shaped by you, to be formed, to be molded, to be like you, Lord. And we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you, Lord, would open our hearts to hear what you would say to us. Lord, we pray that your word would cut to the core of who we are, that we would desire to be more like you as a result of encountering you in your word. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you as I share your word this morning. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are a few different animals which can blend in with whatever is behind them or around them. A lot of us probably know some of the animals I might be referencing. One of them is the chameleon, which is an interesting animal for multiple reasons, not the least of which is it has this funky walk that it does, kind of a cool animal. But it can blend in with whatever is around it. It can change its skin to look like rocks or sand or plants, whatever is around it. Octopus and squids are also good at this too. They can also do this. And for all of these animals, one of the main purposes is camouflage, the ability to not be seen when something is trying to attack them or eat them, so that maybe they'll be able to hide so that the predator can move on and they won't be eaten or attacked. They conform to their background, we might even say. There's conformity to what's around them in order to help them camouflage themselves and blend in. And those are animals, but the theme of conforming is one which is actually relevant to Christians. It's one that we should pay attention to, this idea of conforming. We're going to look at a passage this morning, Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, and I invite you to turn there if you've got a paper Bible or if you have an app on your phone, a Bible app. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. We'll see in Romans 12, 1 to 2, that Christians are actually not to be conformed to what's around them. Christians are not supposed to be like a chameleon or a squid. They're supposed to look different from what's around them. They shouldn't fit into the world around them. They should look different. And Romans 12, 1 to 2 discusses how Christians are to be living sacrifices transformed according to God and his ways, which is very challenging, and I'll say up front that this sermon is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. Transformed according to God and his ways. Living sacrifices are transformed. They're not conformed. Living sacrifices are transformed, not conformed. And the first thing we see in this passage, in these two verses here, establishes that Christians are living sacrifices. So in verse 1, God speaking through the Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." From the beginning, God is saying here through Paul that he's appealing or urging the Roman Christians to listen to what he says next. This is important stuff. He's appealing, he's urging. And he's never met this church, so he's actually spending time emphasizing the things that are really important for them to know. He's never met the Roman church. He says, therefore, which is a transition word, here it's meaning that he's appealing to them based on everything that's come before this point in the letter of Romans. Really, everything from chapters 1, starting after verse 17-ish, all the way through to chapter 11. So that's a lot of content. And Paul is transitioning to an entirely different section in the book of Romans here, saying, therefore, based on everything I just talked about, I'm appealing to you to do some stuff. And mercies of God, he says, by the mercies of God, he's appealing to them, which refers back to really everything that came before this point. Paul established in those chapters, earlier on in Romans, that nobody seeks God. Nobody seeks God, not non-Jews and not Jews. Nobody seeks God. And God, as a result of that, gives people over to the evil things that they want to do as a result. He lets people do what they want. It also establishes in those chapters that we all have disobeyed God's law. We have all disobeyed God's law, but that God, in his mercy, created a way apart from the law in order for us to be made right with God. Even though we've disobeyed God's law, he has made a way apart from the law through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that we celebrated earlier that Russ so beautifully led us through. God has made a way for us to be forgiven, to be adopted, to be made his children. We already are, in a sense, but children who are right with him, children who are righteous in his sight because of Jesus. Jesus, Paul establishes, he gives Christians hope. He gives Christians peace with God, where before there was hostility. We were enemies of God before Jesus. But Jesus has given us peace with God, and he's given us new life. Even though we were dead spiritually, we were dead, but Jesus gave us new life, Paul establishes. He releases us from needing to obey the law in order to be right in God's eyes. And now we obey the law because out of love and thankfulness of what Jesus has done, not because we need to do it in order to be loved by God or made right with God, because Jesus has already accomplished that. And so all of these wonderful truths that we see in the book of Romans, they're all God's mercies, Paul is establishing here. It's by these mercies of God and loving people who didn't love him, God loving people who didn't love him, that we do what Paul is going to urge us to do in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. It's by those mercies. These truths about what God has done, they're not just head knowledge either. They're not just things that we know in our head, but then they make no difference to our lives. They change everything. This changes reality for us. This changes our lives. This is life-changing stuff. Not just things that we know in our head because we learned it in Sunday school or we've been coming to church for many years and hearing a lot of sermons and we're familiar with all this stuff. No, this changes our lives, as Paul is going to establish from this point forward. And so what is Paul urging here? What is he urging? He is urging that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what he says here. Bodies, by the way, not just meaning our physical selves, like my actual body, but our whole selves, our minds, our hearts, our desires, the things that motivate us. We're presenting everything about who we are and what we do to God as a living sacrifice, although it definitely does include the physical body. And a living sacrifice is an offering. It's similar to the kind of offering that the Israelites used to make in the Old Testament when they would bring animals to the temple to be slaughtered. It's giving something over completely, even to death. But the thing is, we're different. We don't have to offer animal sacrifices anymore because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us. But if we belong to Jesus, then we are offering ourselves up as living sacrifices. We're not dead. We're still alive, and we're especially alive because of and in Jesus. We are offering ourselves up. And we can only do this by the mercies of God, by what God has done for us in Christ. Jesus was a sacrifice for us. And so that's the foundation by which we are able to offer ourselves as sacrifices. Jesus is sacrifice for us. Because if Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself for us, how much more willing should we be to sacrifice ourselves for him? He gave up everything for us. He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that is the foundation for us giving up our lives as a sacrifice to him. We're told here that these sacrifices are holy and acceptable, or pleasing is another word that could be used with acceptable here. Holy and acceptable or pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship, we're told. All of the words here are descriptors of the term living sacrifice. They're all saying something about what a living sacrifice looks like. It's holy, it's acceptable or pleasing to God, and it's our spiritual worship, it says here. So holy, meaning to be set apart, to be unlike anyone or anything else. Acceptable or pleasing to God. Again, those two words could be used to get at the original meaning here, acceptable or pleasing. And both of these also go with the word holy. What's holy to God is also acceptable to him or pleasing to him, and what's acceptable or pleasing to God is also holy to him. That's a package deal, that phrase right there. Spiritual worship is a tricky phrase, and that's kind of like, what does that mean? Which is your spiritual worship? What is that saying? Some of you might have a footnote that says it could be translated as rational service. That's another way you could translate this. It does mean spiritual worship, but it doesn't mean spiritual in an abstract sense. Because a lot of times when we think of the word spiritual, we think of this other realm that we can't see or can't feel or can't touch, which is true, but here it's more concrete than that. It's actually saying the practical daily act of us offering up our lives to God as living sacrifices. It's a practical daily thing that we do to offer ourselves up to God as a living sacrifice. And that's our spiritual worship. That's worship to God. Worship isn't just, we've talked about this before, it's not just what we do on Sunday mornings when we sing songs and hymns and we pray together. That's definitely worship, but worship is bigger than that. It's the way we live our lives every single day. And so spiritual worship here is getting at the fact that when we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, we are worshiping God. That is a way of worshiping. And it's a service that we perform for God, like how in the Old Testament the Israelites would do all the things they had to do at the tabernacle or the temple. Well, now, as followers of Christ, what we do is we offer ourselves up. And that's a service that we do to worship God. So what does all this mean? A Christian's entire life is to be an offering or a sacrifice to God. That's what's being said here. So a lot of us know that Christians do sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our talents, our gifts. We sacrifice our stuff, our dreams, the things that we want in life. We're willing to give all that up to God, but it's even bigger than all of that. It's saying that our whole lives are to be a sacrifice to God. Ourselves are to be a sacrifice to God. Not just our stuff, not just our money, not just our dreams and our hopes, but ourselves, our whole selves, our whole being. And that doesn't necessarily mean giving up our lives, although it could mean that, and in some other places in the world, Christians are giving up their lives because they follow Jesus. They're willing to give up their lives. We should be willing to give up our lives too if God calls us to that. But it means too that we are willing to give things over to God in our life. We're willing to take all of the things that we have, all of the desires, all of the stuff we hold dear, whatever that is or whoever that is, and we're willing to offer that up to God and say, God, I am willing to give this up for you if it's something you want me to do. I'm willing to give this over to you so that you can do with it what you want to do. Whether that's a gift or a talent or something we're passionate about, we're willing to give all of it, even our own selves, up to God and turn that over to them. Because Christians don't belong to themselves. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, so therefore glorify God in your body. bought at a price, the price being Jesus' blood, the blood of God's own Son, the life of God's own Son bought us. And us giving up our lives is what we do in response. And that's what Christians do. So if you take an honest look at yourself and you say, I'm not willing to do that. I don't want to give up stuff to God. I don't want to give up my own life to God. Well, this is what Christians do. So I would encourage you to examine yourself. And if that's your answer, that's not a good indicator of where you're at with Christ. Because Christians are living sacrifices. That's what we do. And we present ourselves, meaning we offer it up to God. The thing is, God does the work here. But we have to be willing to let Him do the work. And if we don't present ourselves in the first place, if we don't allow ourselves to go before God and say, whatever it is, God, I will give it up to You, then He's not going to be able to do this work. We have to present ourselves and be willing to let Him do whatever it is that He wants to do to make us living sacrifices. And one concrete, practical way is by praying on a daily basis, God, help me be a living sacrifice for You today. You can do that every day. And then trying throughout the day to remember that you've committed yourself to that and be aware of situations and circumstances where God might be calling you to do something that you wouldn't normally do on your own. It's presenting ourselves to God on a daily, hourly, and even by minute, by second basis, and being willing to offer our whole lives up to Him and everything we have. Christians are living sacrifices to God because they understand that God sacrificed for them. It's all by His mercy. So God says here that Christians are to be living sacrifices, but then He gets into what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. He gets specific. Says through the Apostle Paul. This is God speaking through the Apostle Paul. And the first characteristic of a living sacrifice that we see in this passage is that living sacrifices don't conform to the world. Living sacrifices don't conform to the world. In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world or this age, is another word we could use for world. To not be conformed, it means to not be formed according to a pattern or mold or modeled after something or be guided by it. So think about how they make like things out of plastic, for example. They'll have a mold, and then they'll take the hot liquid plastic and pour it in that mold and press the mold together, let the plastic cool down and harden, and then they pull the mold apart, and voila, you've got whatever it is that the mold was shaped like, whether that's like an action figure or some sort of tool or something like that. You've got your action figure. Mold has now made an action figure out of plastic, for example. So that's molding. That's what molding looks like. And that word conformity is getting at that idea of being molded by or shaped by or guided by the world or this age. That's what Christians don't do. And think back, too, to the chameleon or the octopus or the squid. They all do the same thing. They're conforming to their background. They're looking like the background or the surroundings that they're around so that they can blend in. Well, Christians don't do that, it's saying here. And world or age basically mean, those words basically mean the current period of time and the place in which we live. And the Bible tells us that the world that we live in is evil. It's against God. Tells us pretty clearly in its natural state, it is not for God, it's against Him. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says that it's an evil age that we live in. The Bible also tells us that Satan currently rules the world. So it's not a surprise then that this is not a place that likes God. 1 John 5, verse, chapter 5, verse 19 says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The evil one meaning the devil, Satan, the accuser. These are not popular ideas. Not popular ideas at all. But when you look at the world around you, it's clearly doing its own thing contrary to the God of the Bible. Clearly. And for us, conformity to the world is not to look and act like the world or this age. It's not to look and act like the world or this age, which really means anyone or anything who has not been brought to new life in Christ. And anything that they write, anything they produce, anything they make, not conforming to that. And conformity doesn't just mean the way we act and think. It's the same thing, wanting the same things that they want. It's being motivated by the same things they're motivated by, having the same attitude that they have about things. That's what conformity looks like. Now, it's true that because of God's common grace, which is the grace that he shows to everybody, whether they have been reconciled with him or not, by God's common grace, there may be elements of God's truth everywhere in all people, but it might only be certain elements of God's truth, and it's not God's saving grace. It's also true that we love other people. We're supposed to love everybody. Jesus loved everybody. But we love them on God's terms and not their terms. We love them on God's terms and not theirs, which means that while we love somebody who doesn't know Jesus, we also shouldn't let them shape us or change us or have us act like they do or think like they do or be motivated by the same things that they're motivated by. And also note this preposition to that's here. We don't just get shaped by the world, we get shaped to the world. I think that's significant. To where we think and behave like those that we are conformed to. We get shaped to, conformed to, not just by, but to. So in other words, we will look like what we take in. One of my favorite publishing companies, Banner of Truth, puts it, you are what you read. You are what you read. Another way of saying that could be you are what you watch. You are what you play. You are what you listen to. You are who you listen to, who you watch, who you read. So other ways of saying that. And if it's not God and his word, it will be someone or something. So if you're a Christian, the key question this morning is, who or what is molding you? Who or what is molding you? Who do you spend most of your time paying attention to? Who has your undivided attention that if they're on, you are watching? Or if they've written an article, you are reading that article. Or if they're talking to you, you are listening and there's no other distractions. Who has your undivided attention? I'd encourage you to do almost like a sort of audit this morning, just taking an examination. Who am I shaped and molded by? What am I shaped and molded by? Is it certain media pundits, certain news sources, or stations? The thing is, it's good to be informed about what's going on in the world. It is. It's good to be informed by that. But we need to be mindful that very few news sources and news stations and media pundits are coming from a Christian perspective. And we also need to be skeptical if they say they are, because ultimately God's word determines what God thinks about things and not some personality or whatever. God's word determines things. And it's important to be mindful of the fact that all media sources are biased in some way, shape, or form. Not just the liberal ones, the conservative ones are biased too. They're all biased. They're all going according to some agenda. And we ultimately have to test whether or not it's God that agrees with whatever is being said by testing against the truth of his word. And the whole take of Scripture too, not just select passages, but the entirety of what the Bible says. Because certain news sources might actually quote Scripture, but they'll selectively quote Scripture and they won't keep in mind other things that Scripture says. So these are all things that we have to be mindful of. Or is it TikTok? Is it Instagram? Is it certain YouTube personalities like, just some examples, James Charles or PewDiePie, people like that? Is it video games? All of that can shape us and mold us if we're not careful. That can all shape us and mold us. And hear me now, if you think cancel culture is a good thing that we should participate in, you have conformed to the world, because that is not something that God would condone. That is not something that Jesus would do. In fact, Jesus hung out with the people who were canceled by the rest of society. God offers us grace and forgiveness, and cancel culture is anything but gracious and forgiving. So that is conformity to the world, to buy into cancel culture. And then, of course, there are the people we hang out with, members of our family. Those, in some ways, that can shape us more than anything else, is who we're hanging around with, who we're listening to, who we're spending time with. And also the Super Bowl's on today. We're going to be bombarded, if you're watching it, with advertisements and messaging. And again, if we're not paying attention, that type of stuff can shape us. Now again, I go back to what I said before. It's not that we don't love people who aren't Christians. It's not that we don't spend time talking to them. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to be mindful of the influences that we are allowing to shape us and mold us. We need to be aware that everything is going to have a bent, and is that bent ultimately in agreement with God and His Word? And it's up to us to do the work of checking the influences that we're allowing to speak to us against God and His Word. Because living sacrifices don't conform to the world. It's not what they do. So that was the negative aspect of what Paul says about living sacrifices look like here, or don't look like, I should say. They don't conform to the world. But now we look at the positive one. The positive one is that living sacrifices are transformed. Living sacrifices are transformed, not conformed. So in verse 2, Paul continues the thought and says, instead of being conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To be transformed means to change inwardly. To change inwardly in fundamental ways, in your character, in your thoughts, your attitudes, really your heart about things, your desires, to change inwardly. It's something that happens inside of us and changes really who we are in a lot of ways. And by the renewal of our minds, renewal means making new of something. So think about like a house or a room where they're renovating it, they're taking out walls, they're putting in new walls and insulation and new flooring and all that kind of stuff. That's what it means to be renewed. It's not that you're completely creating something new, it's that you're taking something that needs to be reshaped, needs to be remade, and it's being remade by the renewal. And what's being renewed? Our minds. Our minds are being renewed, meaning the way that we think about, not just the way we think about things, but really our whole being, our attitudes, our outward behaviors, but attitudes, motivations, dreams, desires. That's what's being renewed. That's what's being remade. So how can we be transformed by the renewal of our minds? Again, that's kind of an abstract sounding concept. How can we let that happen? Well, the obvious canned answer that a lot of you would probably expect me to say is by reading your Bible and praying. But the reason why those come up over and over again is because they work. Those are effective. And not just reading your Bible either, but soaking in it, meditating on it, letting it seep deep into who you are. You can do that with just one verse, even a phrase of a verse, taking that and just chewing on it in your mind, soaking in God's Word. It's very easy to read Scripture and just, okay, great, I read my two chapters for today, wonderful, moving on. That's easy, and that's probably not going to shape us too much, but if we spend time soaking in it, That's what's going to make the difference. Soaking in God's Word, it will help us understand God better. It will help us to begin to look more like God if we do that. Not only that, but praying. And when I say prayer, I'm not just talking about asking God for help with things, but just spending time with God. Not just talking to Him, but also listening to Him. And if we're spending time in God's Word, He is going to have things to say to us if we're willing to listen. He can and will speak. So both of those things will help us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we have to do this because our culture tells us a lot of lies. Our culture tells us a lot of lies. And if we're not careful, again, it's very easy to conform to those lies and to start believing them. So for example, one lie is, my body is my own, my life is my own, and I can do whatever I want with both of those. That's a lie. It's especially a lie for Christians, but it's really a lie for everybody else. Again, I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, which says that we're not our own. We were bought with a price. So therefore, as a result of that, glorify God in your body. We're not our own. And for people who don't believe that, they still belong to God because God made them. None of us would exist if it wasn't for God. And He will hold us accountable for how we have used what He has given to us, our time, our lives, our bodies. He will hold us accountable. So no, our body is not our own and our lives are not our own. That's a lie. And spending time in God's Word helps us recognize those kinds of lies and speak truth into them. And being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that process, it makes us different from the world around us. And this is kind of a scary thought if you're new to this. But unlike a chameleon, you are not going to blend in with your background. There are times and situations and people that you'll be with where you are going to stick out like a sore thumb. But that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. Because we understand that Christ was willing to give everything for us. And so we are willing to even be thought of as the weird one in certain situations and with certain people because of that sacrifice for us. That's easier said than done. And a lot of this is easier said than done. And again, I need this sermon just as much as anybody else does. Because to conform to the world is so easy. And it's especially easy because we all carry the world around us with us in our pockets. This thing right here, this has access to the world very easily. You have to be that much more intentional to avoid or not be conformed to those influences than you do to conform to them or be influenced by them. And again, I'm not saying world bad, God good, although that is true. I'm saying that we have to be very careful what we let influence and shape us. Because living sacrifices are conformed, not conformed, but transformed to look like God. And the renewal of our minds helps us by testing, too, to discern what the will of God is, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Again, all three of those words, good, acceptable, and perfect, are saying something about what the will of God is. It's good. It's the right thing, it's acceptable, it's pleasing, and it's perfect, which means that it is meeting the highest standard, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Some people will say, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know how God wants me to live. Well, if we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, we will know. We will know what God's will is. This is how you do that. So if you're a living sacrifice, you're transformed. So Christians are living sacrifices which are transformed by God and not conformed to the world around them. We can't make ourselves living sacrifices. We can't do this. We have to present ourselves to God and allow Him to do this. So it's really just showing up and saying, God, please transform me. Please remake me. Please make me into a living sacrifice. That's what begins to do this work, not us trying in our own strength to do it, which is something I have to remind myself very often, because our tendency is to try to do things on our own strength. So we have to present ourselves to God in order for Him to do this work. And you're going to be molded by someone or something, or someone's, multiple people. The question is, will it be God, or will it be the world? Living sacrifices are not conformed, but they are transformed. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Father, these are, again, things that are easier to say than they are to do. And we need your help. Lord, first, may our desire be for you and for you alone, and to look like you and be like you, even if that means sticking out, even if that means looking different wherever you take us, Lord. Give us the strength, give us the grace, and give us the love and joy that we need in order to do that. All out of grateful hearts for what you have done. All out of gratefulness and sacrificing yourself for us. That is the foundation for all of this. And it's only by you and through you and because of you that we are able to do it. So Lord, change our desires, change our motivations, change our hopes and our dreams. May they all be centered around you and around the next life that is to come. Not this one, which doesn't last, but the next one, which lasts forever. And Lord, we pray that you would show us on a daily basis what we can do in order to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a desire to spend time with you in your word and in prayer, knowing, Lord, that that will bless us more than just about anything or anyone else. Even the things that are usually our go-tos when we're feeling down or when we need a pick-me-up, Lord, nothing will help us as much as you can. So give us that desire, give us that drive and that motivation. And Lord, help us to not feel guilty that maybe that hasn't been our practice up to this point, if that's the case. Knowing, Lord, that you are always willing to welcome us back with open arms and forgive us, Lord. So again, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that if we are in him, there's nothing that can snatch us from your hand. And Lord, if anyone here hasn't believed that or trusted in Christ yet, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that this truly is the way, the truth, and the life, that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand and receive the benediction. And now may you go and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to discern the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. And may you go being a living sacrifice in this world that so desperately needs to see the love and the grace and the mercy and kindness of our great God. Be blessed and go in peace. Amen.